So our sermon today is based on Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12, the last of the so-called servant songs. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should desire him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured himself out to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Dear God, we thank you for sending us this suffering, sacrificing, stupendous servant to us. Well, save the best for last, I always say. As we looked at the servant songs from the prophet Isaiah throughout Advent, we concurred with the conclusion of the ancient Christians who said the servant couldn't be anybody else but Jesus. Well, sure, maybe some obscure person could tick off one or two of the boxes, but Jesus ticked them all. These words were written more than 600 years before his birth, and yet the scripture talks of a future event, the entire life of Jesus, as though it had already occurred, and the writer of the prophecy was looking back on it and describing what had happened. From the beginning, Jesus was the one whom God chose to send into the world to bring hope, light, redemption, and reconciliation. But Isaiah did not mince words. He laid out the hard lines of the servant's destiny of being disrespected and scorned, despised and rejected. Isaiah says there was nothing that physically attracted Jesus to people, maintaining that he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Nothing made him stand out. He was an ordinary-looking guy. Some commentators think the line saying Jesus was acquainted with infirmity and he was as one from whom others hide their faces could be a hint that maybe he had a debilitating, off-putting disease. Some of them even say he may have been a leper or a hunchback. That certainly detracts from our usual image of Jesus as tall, fit, and healthy, and blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Maybe he was just an average-looking guy. He lived in a land of dark-skinned, dark-haired, dark-eyed people, and he looked just like everyone else. This scripture about the suffering servant is kind of sad. The adjectives Isaiah uses in his description are stark, despised, rejected, held as no account, stricken, struck down, afflicted, wounded, crushed, bruised, oppressed, cut off. Isaiah was speaking from the perspective of the Jewish nation, and for the Jewish people looking for the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus just didn't live up to their expectations. They didn't expect someone meek and mild who would suffer and die on a cross. They expected a warrior, a conqueror, someone who would sweep into their midst with sword in hand to get rid of their Roman oppressors and once and for all put them in charge. They wanted someone flashy and splashy, not someone weak and wimpy. So of course they spurned Jesus. They didn't understand that Jesus' very weakness was his ultimate strength. They didn't understand that his ignoble death was really his royal coronation. He didn't live up to their expectations, but that was fine, because his whole focus was to live up to God's expectations, to do what God had sent him to do, to take our place and receive the punishment for sin that we deserved. His willing, humble acceptance of God's plan and his steadfast adherence to it makes our hearts shiver with gratitude. Who else would do so much for us? Jesus was the Lamb of God, given like a sheep to the slaughter, enduring his destiny without complaint or cry. Our brows wrinkle in a little confusion and frustration when we read, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with affliction." Really, Lord? Is that really how you decided to treat him? Was that really necessary, God? Perhaps we needed the starkness and the darkness of Jesus' last hours to open our eyes to what God was trying to tell us and to do. The bottom line is, we want to be Christmas people. We want to relish the delights of the season, the lights, the trees, the carols, the poinsettias, the presents. We want to meditate on the baby in the manger and listen to the angels singing his presence and celebrate the magi bringing him gifts. We'd hold on to Christmas forever if we could, wouldn't we? But we are not Christmas people. If we were stuck on Christmas, we would keep Jesus as a helpless baby whom we could adore and exalt over the virgin birth and the star of Bethlehem that led the magi to Jesus. But we can't get stuck on Christmas. That would be keeping Jesus away from his destiny. And his destiny was to come to this earth and be despised, rejected, held as no account, stricken, struck down, afflicted, wounded, crushed, bruised, oppressed, and cut off for us. His destiny was to come to earth, walk among us, and then die on the cross for us. He couldn't deny his destiny, and neither can we. Jesus came to us first as a baby, but he grew up like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He was not going to stay as a helpless babe in the manger. That was not why he was sent. He grew up and he preached and prayed and healed and helped. It was his destiny, a destiny that had been determined for him from the very beginning of time, that he would be wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, and he would die in our place. But his death on the cross was not the end. Even though it looked like a defeat, especially to the Jewish naysayers, after 3 days he rose from the dead and his resurrection gave our lives direction. We became Easter people. Of course, we still love to sing the Christmas carols and listen to the Christmas story, but we can't help looking forward to Easter when Jesus reveals the real reason why he came. He came to set an example for us of extraordinary servanthood, facing his fate with faith and doing God's will with steadfast conviction and utmost obedience. He's given us a present, the gift of himself and the ability to follow in his footsteps. As we enter the new year with the servant songs ringing in our ears, let us renew our commitment to be true disciples of Christ, living, loving, and serving just as Jesus did. Yes, we are thrilled by the miracle of Christmas, but in the end, we are Easter people. Let us pray. Dear God, we've been excited to examine the servant songs and find traces of Jesus all over them. May we never forget what your servant, the righteous one, came to do. To redeem us and rectify us, to make us whole and bring us home to you. Amen.